You're listening to UnitedWeStrike.com Radio. Don't buy, don't comply. Ask why. UnitedWeStrike.com Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning back into the UnitedWeStrike.com Radio Marathon. It is Saturday, November 8th, 2014. I am Matt Navarro, host of the New World Order Report. And on this segment, our last segment of the day, before our roundtable, we'll have our roundtable here in a half an hour where our hosts gather around to speak about issues on their minds, is hosted by our good friend out all the way down in New Zealand, Vinnie Eastwood, and out here in the Northwest in the United States, Suzanne Posel. Lady and gentlemen, welcome to the show this evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi. So let's see. Go ahead and introduce yourselves and discuss what's on your mind today.
All right. Well, I'll go first. I'm Vinnie Eastwood, host of the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and I'm basically the New Zealand version of a scumbaggery exposer inspired by the Americans and what have you, because let's face it, there's nothing much going on here. And if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, you can see a whole lot of archives and things of that nature that I've done, interviews that are inspiring and fun and fabulous. And the whole idea of the show is to have fun, because let's face it, if we're being exterminated, why can't we make it fun? All right. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? And today I wanted to talk about the restoration of my YouTube channel, which happened on November the 5th, Guy Fawkes Day, to commemorate the last man who entered Parliament with honourable intentions, i.e. blowing it up, Guy Fawkes. And I thought that was quite interesting coincidence there, considering the reason why my YouTube channel got pulled in the first place was exposing the Prime Minister John Key and his Federal Reserve banking connections. So, you know, I'm back, I'm live, I'm in living colour, and it's just so fabulous that I just had to tell somebody about it. Suzanne?
I'm so happy that you're back. Are you there?
Yeah. What about you? Isn't it your turn to introduce yourself?
I'm Suzanne Posel. I'm the chief editor of OccupyCorporatism.com and the U.S. Independent and BeyondCBD.com. If you want informed information about CBD cannabidiol and purchase from retailers who are not snake oil salesmen, then go to BeyondCBD.com. You can check out the website. We have PDF'd certified laboratory tests on the website to prove that the products are what they say they are, and we have some incredible new products coming out. If you don't know about CBD, or if you're curious, we have a section where you can get more information about it. So that's what I'm doing. Oh my God, we're so busy right now.
Yeah. And it seems to me like I've been getting all these offers lately from really good people who I respect, who want to like include me in their operations and things like that. And it's kind of like, for the last 18 months, I've been suffering these big setbacks, Suzanne, like American Freedom Radio went down, my Facebook account got deleted, my YouTube channel got taken out, and just within the last 2 weeks or so, YouTube channel gets restored, and I get all these offers from people who are like doing magazines that want me to contribute, and wonderful listeners actually have been supporting me massively. Like, I think earlier on this week, one of my listeners, Chris Wardell, paid for me to go down to Queenstown, which is in the South Island here in New Zealand, probably the most picturesque city in the world. And if it's not in the world, it's certainly top five, top ten. And just to cover his story about his child being taken by the child kidnapping services that we have going on in New Zealand here, and it was actually quite an honor to be shouted that ticket to actually fly down the country and help somebody. And then at the end of this week, just yesterday in fact, my listeners donated a couple of $100, and that paid for gas and batteries for my second 100 watt megaphone, which was also donated. And the gas was to get down to Hamilton, which is a couple of 100 kilometers away, from Auckland, where I live, because they wanted somebody to help lead their anti-Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement protest. So I rolled down there with two giant megaphones under my arm and like a third artificial arm protruding out of my shoulder, holding my GoPro. And I was like, you know, if you're up against the most ruthless propaganda machine and technologically advanced disinformation that the world has ever seen, don't bring a knife to a gunfight, son. And this was quite fun, really, because it was the first time that I have these two megaphones going at once. And the police issue megaphones are like 25 watts, and I had two 100 watt megaphones, you know, one under each arm. I looked like frickin' RoboCop with giant noisy breast implants. It was fantastic. And just got to do my normal protesting thing, have fun, and keep everybody laughing. You know, it was like, what was my chant? Oh yeah, the TPPA should be used for TP when you need to PP at a PPTA meeting. Yeah, bro.
I can't wait to see the video of that.
Oh yeah. I'm going to be downloading the footage now. I've got so many videos to do, so much radio shows and everything, man. It's been pretty intense this last week, and I actually haven't published really anything. Just before coming on the show today, though, I managed to quickly pop up the an episode of the Paul Carruthers Independent Kiwi Show that I'm producing, where he had a bit of a rant and then brought me on in the second segment to talk about disapproval by your fellow man, and how you should basically not be fearing it any longer because time is short, you know? I mean, we all stop ourselves from doing what's right because we fear that other people will give us grief about it. And you gotta stop fearing that, man. We don't really have enough time to mince around and worry what people think of us. I think we only really have time to do what's right, and there isn't really any more justification that's needed.
You know, that's kind of funny. I'm going through personally some of that as well. That I realize that, you know, that I've lived half of my life already, and the second half of my life, what do I want it to be about? What do I want to accomplish before I'm too old to accomplish anything? And realizing that other people's opinion of me, if they don't know me personally, if they haven't had dinner at my house or I'm not personal friends with them, their opinion of me is based on their assumption, and their assumption is flawed because they don't know me personally. So not to take that into consideration, it's really, really hard, but I agree that time is short and we have to get the function done.
Yeah. And I received an email today that had one line in it, only one line. It says, "You've been exposed, you COINTELPRO scumbag." I couldn't help but I just burst into laughter. It's like, exposed for what, bro? Come on. do you even know what COINTELPRO is? Counterintelligence program? Like, the people who like demonized Martin Luther King and the FBI that assassinated him and all of that kind of stuff? You're saying that I'm out there to assassinate people, to stalk them, to destroy their lives, and to ensure that the movement doesn't contribute anything to anybody in any way, but shape or form that's meaningful and useful? I mean, come on, for F's sake. There's just, I think Alex Jones said it best, it's just mental illness. And this movement, whatever you want to call it, conspiracy drives people nuts, okay? And anybody who denies that is nuts. It's just that simple. It's really difficult to start discerning truth from fiction if you're willing to let your assumptions run away with you, really. I mean, if you're going to say that somebody's COINTELPRO, if you're going to do anything of that nature, accuse anybody of anything, and you don't provide any evidence whatso-freaking-ever, then you've lost your mind. Okay? And this is why I respect you so much, Suzanne, is that I have never seen you make a statement without backing it up. And the movement needs to learn that very important mechanism, that if you're going to make a claim, how about you just provide a little bit of evidence as to why you've made your claim? And you've, when you do your articles, you're always putting reference notes and things of that nature in there so that people who want to research the claim, people who want to know the evidence behind it, actually can, as opposed to an article with a single line, you've been exposed as COINTELPRO, you scumbag.
Absolutely. Evidence, 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 folks. I promise you, if we actually get the real evidence and bring it forward, it will stop. It will stop. That's what the press was supposed to be about. Journalism was intended to expose corruption and scumbaggery. So to use the public forum to shame people who were doing things that they shouldn't do, whether it was politicians or your next door neighbor, and using our sociological system where we kind of police each other to make sure that these people get to court and get convicted. And if we don't use evidence and we just spin our wheels talking about conjecture and lots of fairy tales, then they get to do whatever they want and laugh while we put out this garbage and spin our wheels. But they're going to continue doing what they're doing until we get the actual evidence that they don't want put out, that we bring them to court, that we bring their corporations down, that we stop patronizing their corporations so that they can't afford to stay in business any longer. That's what we actually need. And if the alternative media ever, in any way, shape, or form, wants to actually replace the mainstream media, then we have to start using evidence instead of, oh, gee, look at this YouTube video. That's awesome. YouTube videos can be faked. Lots of stuff can be faked. Information can be faked. But if without evidence, you wouldn't show up in a courtroom against a prosecutor without evidence. You wouldn't divorce your spouse or your significant other without evidence. You wouldn't undergo chemotherapy for stage 4 cancer without evidence. So why would you not demand it from your news media?
Yeah. And I was just thinking about this when it comes down to, you know, evidence, incontrovertible evidence, you can't be going around saying, oh, an anonymous source told me this. And you say, well, bro, hold on a second. Are you saying that somebody who doesn't want to reveal themselves doesn't actually have any evidence that they've shown you and provided you, etc., in order to cover this so that I can research it and put it out on the airwaves and things of that nature and risk my credibility for a story that you want me to put out there from an anonymous source? You know, it's kind of, I can understand the whole idea behind anonymous sources, because a lot of people don't want to risk their name or their careers and things of that nature. But if you're not willing to do that, then you're not a whistleblower. Okay, whistleblowers come out publicly, they have a position, they have a reputation, and they have evidence. That's kind of the qualification I expect from a whistleblower. If you're an anonymous source, you're not a whistleblower. I don't know what you are. Literally, I don't know what you are. I don't even know if you're working with the government or anything of that nature. And that's why you can't use anonymous sources in source material, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. When the mainstream media wants to interject their opinion, not that they don't have opinion-based news, but when they want to interject their opinion, they say anonymous sources say, or this anonymous official from the White House made this statement, or this anonymous police officer who didn't want to say his name made this statement about the investigation that's ongoing. That's when they inject the BS. So why is the alternative media emulating that? There are ways for whistleblowers to come out, and I'm not saying that the laws in the United States are perfect. I'm not saying that they are applied perfectly, but there are laws to protect whistleblowers, and whistleblowers can safely come out. Think about Daniel Ellsberg. He sat there and photocopied thousands of documents before he came out. That is incredible testimony to what he was doing. And he did that, and he came out. And because of that, we found out about incredible corruption. So why can't whistleblowers now follow in the footsteps of the whistleblowers before them and bring credible information forward that actually stops what's happening or exposes it and creates change?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to expose something, again, just basically sit there and gather your documents, gather your evidence. And then once you're ready, once you've prepared them, once they're ready to be reported and you're actually willing to leave your position in whichever scumbaggery organization you leave to, that's when you start contacting the media. You don't contact the media and say, hey, look, I want you to never reveal my name and I'm not going to provide you any evidence, but this is what's going on. Please report it for me so that I don't have to deal any consequences and people can know something that is unproven.
Exactly. And then what are we supposed to do with unproven quote-unquote facts? What can we do with that? We can't do anything with that. Go and take that to the stock market and bet on that.
yeah. I mean, I had one person tell me that, I voted like in this last election, right? And somebody told me, Vinny, because you voted, you are now responsible and can be charged with every single crime your government commits, even if you didn't vote for the people who got elected into government. It's just like, bro, good luck proving that in court. This guy voted for somebody who didn't get elected. Therefore, he's responsible for all the crimes of the people who did get elected. Okay.
Well,
that doesn't make any freaking sense to me, but all right.
Absolutely. The mentality between voting and non-voting is ridiculous. We just went through that here in the United States, and I thought that it was hilarious that some places were covering the elections and asking people to vote and helping them. Like, there was a hotline that was created. This is alternative media. There was a hotline that was created so that they could get information on who to vote for. And yet this outlet has been talking for decades about how the two-party system is actually a one-party system paid for by people above the one party.
I mean, how exactly are we going to elect representatives when they misrepresent themselves? You know, that doesn't make any sense to me either. But in general, you know, there's a couple of things that you can look for people who might be good to vote for, who might be credible. I say might be because there's no confirmation. Of course, you've got to look into people's backgrounds, track records. Have they always done what they said they're going to do? You know, that's a good one to look for. Have they gotten demonized or omitted from the media in general? That's a good one to look for as well. The more they are attacked, the more they are misrepresented by others, and the more of a track record they have for keeping their promises and doing what they say they're going to do, and the more they get sabotaged and demonized, that's more likely to be a person who you could vote for that would actually be a good vote. Not to mention, not saying, of course, that voting absolutely changes everything. My opinion is that voting is more or less like chucking a round stone at a lake. It's fun to watch it skip, but it ain't going to change the lake any.
We also have to, you can use public intelligence, find out who contributed to their campaign.
Is there such a thing?
No, there is. Publicintelligence.org. The Center for, I can't remember the rest of it. I'm sorry, publicintelligence.org. You can look up and see who contributed to their campaign. You can, look and see where they, who they belong to, what their affiliations are, what organizations they belong to, who they have donated to, who they go and speak, when they're invited to speak at conferences, who do they talk to. That will give you an indication of what agendas they will be pushing if they got elected.
You need to kind of like critically analyze these sort of things, but people often don't do any analysis whatsoever when it comes to voting. We've had a, the vote was pretty strong for the Prime Minister for a third term. He got the country into more debt than we've ever been before. In fact, in his first term, he borrowed more money than all previous leaders of our country combined by a huge margin. We went from 8 billion. That was the total for our 150 odd years of government. That's how much debt we managed to accrue. And in two terms, he managed to get that up to 84 billion. Okay? So it's completely out of control. And so when people voted for him, they were voting for him for things like he has a nice smile, or he appears to be a nice family man. He appears to be the guy next door or something. And you ask him, so can you name me a single one of his policies? and there's this blank stare. Like, what? Politicians that I vote for based on a smile, they have policies and stuff that I'm supposed to know before giving them a mandate to run my life and everybody else's as well? What a radical thought! You gotta be kidding me. Now, you gotta laugh about it because it's actually quite depressing, isn't it? You know? Oh my God! People are going crazy! And it's like crazy stupidity. I'm not entirely sure if there's a line between insanity and stupidity. And in fact, they seem to be starting to get blurred, you know? Like the dumber the voting public are, the more insane their voting choices become. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah, take a look at what happened here in the United States. You know, so you either voted for the Council on Foreign Relations or the Council for National Policy, whichever. And a lot of people voted for the Council for National Policy, which was shocking to me, which is the red team. And you have problems in, like in Denton, Texas. They decided to ban fracking in the city of Denton. The Texas Oil and Gas Association and Texas General Land Office filed an injunction saying that the people cannot vote to ban fracking in their city, that by the state constitution in Texas, they are not given the freedom to vote whether or not they want fracking in their city.
Well, and what?
These. I mean, this isn't to me. That point is absolutely incredible. Thomas Phillips, who is the former justice for the Texas Supreme Court, as well as a partner with Baker Botts, who is a law firm that represents the Texas Oil and Gas Association, said that the courts of this state give a prompt and authoritative answer to whether or not Denton voters will have the authority under the state law to enact such a ban. And they're taking this to court. Why? Because they want the profits from the fracking. They don't care that it poisons the water supply. They don't care that it causes cancer, that causes infertility. It causes all sorts of neurological disorders. They don't care that it causes earthquakes. They don't care about any of that. They want the shale gas, and they're going to do it. And we're talking about Texas. It's all about oil, and it's all about gas.
Mm-hmm. And just to flip gears here a little bit, I was just chatting with Max Egan before the show today, and he's sick, man, like really, really sick. He's been sick for weeks and weeks and weeks. And so I just asked him, you know, do you need some help or some support or something of that nature in order to, you know, just buy some good nutritional food or some medicine or something like that. So, for those of you who support Max Egan and know of his work and things like that, please go to his website, thecrowhouse.com. And make a donation to him, you know, just give him like $5 or $20 or something like that. Because when you're really, really sick, it helps to know that there are people that are out there that are willing to come out and support you and give something of themselves to give you a hand there. So I'm going to be making a little donation to him myself as well. So that's thecrowhouse.com. He's kind of like in my opinion, he's basically the tip top of the truth movement in my Australian brethren. And he's a very good dude. And mate, I just talked to him a week or so ago, and he sounded like, whoa. When I was a boy and I got sick, he sounded like that. You know, like the whole pathetic, I need my mummy kind of sick. That's how bad it is, man. Poor guy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
But anyway, the thing about voting, I think, is that it doesn't really make so much of a difference as it does if you're actually doing something in between elections. Okay. Election day is one day. And you're getting one piece of paper to make one call, make one decision, make one piece of influence. Now, you can't discount that it has some form of influence. Otherwise, the establishment wouldn't make such an effort to dissuade voters away from voting for good people. Yeah? All right. If good people are getting demonized, that means that your vote actually does count for something. Otherwise, they wouldn't bother doing it. I mean, that's the simple logic behind it. However, they also don't encourage you to go out in the streets or to pass out leaflets or to write articles or communicate with people on Facebook between the elections in order to influence the outcome that is still years away. And more to the point, you have to educate the voting public to a large degree in order to ensure that there actually will be something meaningful that comes out of a vote. What's difficult about this is we don't have the propaganda strength, all right? Really, we don't have the apparatus. We don't have the CBS and the CNN under our belt to tell people what's going on to such a wide audience. And that's the irritating thing about voting for me, is that a minority of educated people make very little difference when it comes to the overall vote, because about 95% of the people who do vote don't know what they're voting for or why, or even care if you tell them about it. And this is why I think even in Australia, where they have mandatory voting, they still wind up electing one of two scumbags from a scumbag party who instantly, as soon as they're elected, renege on all their election promises.
Well, because they're paid for, and that's why it's so important to find out who they're having dinner with and who's passing an envelope full of cash underneath the table. We have to know this. It has nothing to do with how nice their haircut is or how great their suit looks on them. It has to do with who they're having lunch with, because that is who they're going to be talking about, or what agenda, or what's most important to them when they get into that seat. And that is what they're going to try and pass on the state legislature's level, as well as on the federal level. And we need to pay attention to the states. We just had midterm elections here. The state legislatures passed over 24,000 laws this past year. And the federal government was lucky if they passed a couple thousand. So we have a huge we have a lot of legislation being passed on the state level that very few people are paying attention to. And we're focused on the federal level because the midterm elections are then supposed to be the pathway to what's going to happen in 2016. Is it going to be the Council on Foreign Relations, or is it going to be the Council for National Policy?
You know, a lot of people don't believe in our electoral system anymore in America. And I kind of feel the same way with all the fraud and the Diebold programming machines. But on a local level, I think we still have the ability to vote for ourselves, like those people did in Texas. Oregon legalized marijuana. We got defeated on GMO labeling here, but we came really close. We've got about a minute, guys, so please wrap up and give us your websites and how we get more information from you.
Got for your love, Suzanne.
OccupyCorporatism.com, TheUSIndependent.com, BeyondCBD.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Google+.
And I'm Vinny Eastwood. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood doesn't go ahead. Make my news. And you can check me out at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, or you can look up either of my YouTube channels, Vincent Eastwood or Vinny Eastwood there. And I'm listener supported, have been basically completely listener supported since 2012, and everything that I have has been donated by listeners. So if you want to support what I do to help the movement, regardless of which country or subject matter they're facing, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and make a donation or start a $5 a month subscription today. And also wanted to give big ups to the United We Strike broadcast. It's still going. It's still going. I can't believe the amount of dedication and skills that it takes to just keep a marathon going on a month. I mean, people don't realize how much work it actually takes. Bravo, guys.
Well, thanks a lot, Vinny. We appreciate your and Suzanne's continued participation. Vinny, you've been with us for a few years now, and it's always nice to hear your voice and your thoughts, because to me, you're like the Alex Jones of the Southern Hemisphere, so it's always a pleasure to hear you. So stick around, folks. Vinny and Suzanne will be joining us here shortly after this quick break on our UnitedWeStrike.com roundtable. We'll be right back.
You're listening to UnitedWeStrike.com radio. Don't buy, don't comply. That's why UnitedWeStrike.com radio.